Welcome to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast. In this series, you will hear from a wide array of voices who came together in 2023 to build a global movement for local economies worldwide. This episode features Eva Henger. Eva is a neuroscientist, trauma therapist, and associate professor at Sweden's Umeå University, specializing in child and adolescent psychiatry. She describes herself as a mental health activist because she's committed to raising awareness about the systemic reasons behind increasing rates of depression, anxiety, and suicide, particularly among young people. She has created programs to empower and destigmatize young people with psychological suffering and has helped develop alternatives to the current psychiatric diagnostic systems. From Planet Local Voices, here's Eva Henger.
My name is Eva Henger and I'm from Sweden, and I would label myself as a mental health activist. And I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist and also associate professor at Umeå University, doing research on the adolescent brain and on these kinds of so-called disorders that are related to overwhelming stress, like depression, anxiety. In my world, this pandemic of depression and increasing suicide rates among young people globally is almost like an expected outcome of the global economy and the fragmentation that we're experiencing. And there's also difficulty, I think, for many of us to make meaning of our lives. We have lost the cohesion in the communities, and we have lost connection to life itself. And living a life like that is in combination with geopolitical unrest and war close by and the climate threat. And I think within psychiatry and within mental health, there's been almost like an effort to isolate this problem from the meta-crisis and almost kind of put the blame back on the individual and say, you know, what's wrong with you? And then how can we fix you? So that's my job as a mental health professional. And often that ends up with medication, some kind of SSRIs, antidepressant medication or something like that, which has very little proof of efficacy in young people. It's almost like a crime, because I think instead we should ask, you know, what happened to you, and what is your story? How are you perceiving the world? And together, how can we look at what's too difficult to bear on one's own? How can we together bring those things up? But there is lots of tendencies of trying to isolate it as an independent pandemic that is unrelated to the big meta crisis and the late stage capitalism and neoliberal value systems.
Eva explained how the stresses of the world today put many people in a kind of paralysis of distraction or dissociation, pointing out how community care is a way out of this state.
Sometimes I can almost feel there is a deliberate way of disempowering the young people who can actually be on the barricades and actually be empowered to create change. And one is to distract. One is to disempower by disconnect. And that, I think, is happening a lot through the ways the education system is quite competitive, the way social media is also promoting a false identity. There are lots of ways to split among people that way, and I think that's very, very unfortunate. Another way of looking at it is from like core biology, like our human conditions and the way we are wired, because that applies for all mammals, not just us humans. But when we are exposed to overwhelming stress or more of a mild stressor, we start to hyperactivate, so we get into flight and fight modes, and we get a lot of adrenaline, and it takes a lot of energy for the system to uphold that level of arousal. And sooner or later, if the stressor is still there or the threat from the overpowering situation that you're in, then you'll reach the point of overwhelm. And then it's part of the autonomic nervous systems that call the dorsal vagal system that will shut down. So instead the person gets into an immobilized state where you can't do much. You still have a lot of anxiety, but you can't move, you can't act, you're kind of entrapped in your own body. And if the stressor is even more life-threatening, or the threat is even more overwhelming, then you'll go into complete collapse and go into a dissociative state. And from there you can't act. You can't tell yourself to activate, because that is, you are in a very lonely and very calm place, a numbed out space. And I think huge parts of our global population today are living their lives from that place. And I think that's basically why I'm here, because I want to give hope and say there are ways to get out of that. And the way out, you will have to feel a lot of things that you have previously shut away. And that's often more overwhelming to feel on your own. So that's why we need to go small and stay connected in small groups to address these things. And I think this ideally should be done outside of the mental health care system. I've been operating within it to try to help depressed youth that way, but I think ultimately, you know, we can create models, and that's what I've been working with, that we can implement also in the communities worldwide to educate about this mechanism and empower people to get out of the freeze and flop states and be back on track with themselves. And some of the techniques to take you out of here will be applied as almost like a bypass. So, you know, if you use mindfulness or compassion as an example, if you are in a threatened and vulnerable community, your life is basically at stake, and somebody comes and said, you know, you need to practice compassion here. It's like, no, it's not what's needed. There needs to be action to protect and defend life itself also. And then, so I think some of these practices have been also kind of hijacked by the dominant culture and applied as a way to further numb or further distract or further kind of bypass the actual root causes of the problems. So the way I've been thinking of it is to start by creating a small group and practice self-regulation, to practice using your nervous system from a bottom-up way, instead of thinking, I should be calm, that doesn't work. So by using your breath or slow movement or, you know, practices like has been done for millennia in yoga or in all kinds of cultures, and you educate around what dissociation is, so you can tap yourself back into your body, you can move your feet, you can be aware of what's going on. So you need also to practice interoceptive awareness to be able to enter your body, because that's often what is shut off. We get disembodied when we dissociate, so coming back. And this takes for most people a few months or at least a few weeks with more or less regular practice in a safe container to grasp and actually start to experience that, wow, this is my body, here I am, in the present moment, here now. And when you have that established, it's time to look at, okay, what is your story, what is your narrative? What are the drivers in your environment that have caused you into this position of overwhelm? And you'll hear lots of stories among young people with similar root causes. It could be domestic violence, it could be bullying at school, social exclusion, loss, grief, fear of the future, these kinds of experiences. And when they are expressed in a container where people are able to self-regulate, then something happens, which is quite magic, and that is that I'm not alone. Others are also suffering from this crisis that we're in, and we're experiencing this together, so there is an aspect of common humanity that is usually empowering. And you know, when that is up and people are engaged, then then it's also time to ask the question, what am I passionate about? In which way can I contribute? And what are my deepest values that I want to live accordingly to? And then try to help activate and take these kind of practices and perspectives out in the community in different ways. And I see it as almost like a mandala that, you know, we all have different ways of contributing, and it's not one model. I think the model that I explained to you now, it's quite generic, and it can be applied in almost like a research action research way in all sorts of communities, because it's based in biology, and then what comes up will be different, and the action to get engaged in the world will be different, the needs will be different, and the individuals will be different, and that's the beauty of it, right? I would love to see these kinds of groups popping up everywhere, and I think it's for me it's beautiful to be part of a movement like this that's outside of the big systems, and see if we can bridge.
Zooming out, Eva examines the fundamental and often unseen connections between the wider economy and our deepest sense of self in our daily lives.
The global economic neoliberal late-stage capitalism, however you want to name this entity, it's being imprinted in us, and we're all complicit with it, whether we want it or not. And it's also so much part of our everyday lives, so we don't see it, we take it for granted. So it's not only an economical transactional system, but it's also a value system. It's a lens which we are enculturated and socialized to see the world from. And by taking that in, we become isolated, we become lonely. Our value as human beings are, we are dehumanized basically, without knowing it, without seeing it, because it is the way we grow up. So I think the antidote to that is to create experiences that create a deep memory in our system of, whoa, there is another way of living. It's like deeply ingrained in ourselves, and we remember. If we only have the experience a few times, our system will kind of wake up and remember that maybe what we're told, that this is the only way of moving forward into this idea of progress. Instead, it's like, no, it's happening here. It's happening in my body. I am in it. I'm in the living matrix. I'm not outside looking in. And then things start to spark inside. So I think it's also a huge shift in the way we relate to ourselves in the world that will come out of these kinds of practices. But they need to be contextualized, and they need to be understood in the culture that we're part of. And in that, we humans need to be mirrored, and we need to have other people who live by example, who can provide this experience. And that's why this localization movement is so extremely important at this time point, especially to provide, you know, living examples of places and ways of being that will make our deep memory kind of, whoa, I remember now who I am.
That interview was recorded in September 2023 at the Planet Local Summit in Bristol, UK. To get notified about new episodes, subscribe to our channel or sign up to our mailing list via localfutures.org. Also find on our website a vast collection of resources for education and big picture activism to shift the economy from global to local. And of course, we hope you'll tune in to other inspiring thinkers and movement leaders featured on the Planet Local Voices series. Until next time, thanks for listening to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast.